بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This is our 40th session, reading from Arabic lessons in Fiqh, Level 3, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. As I sent the email out a little bit late today, I excuse you if you didn't have a chance to read this topic completely. And the week has been hectic for me. Very hectic. So, we're on page 61 of our Arabic text for Arabic lessons in Fiqh, level 3. We're reading from page 51. It's just a short presentation concerning the topic of discussion for today, but we're going to read from the secondary sources to get some further benefit and clarification and look at, somewhat, at least to some extent, the difference of opinion concerning this particular issue. Okay, so on page 61 of Arabic lessons in Fiqh, level 3, it says, this is the fourth topic that we're talking about, right? Last week we talked about zakat on the zahab and fidla, and before that we talked about crops, and before that we talked about cattle and camels and stuff. So now this is the fourth type of wealth, zakatu urud at-tijara. Zakatu urud at-tijara. And what we mean by zakat, urud al-tijara, we mean the zakat that is applied to merchandise, goods that a person has for tijara, for trade, for sale. Goods that a person intends to trade with, to sell. Urud al-tijara. And urud is the plural of ardun. It has many meanings. From amongst its meanings is merchandise. Any kind of merchandise, whatever it might be. Tajibu al-zakatu fi urud al-tijarati lima rawahu Abu Dawud wal-Bayhaqi an Samura ibn Jundub radiyallahu anhu qal amma ba'd fa inna al-Nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana ya'muruna an nukhrija as-sadaqata من الذي نعده للبيع. رواه الدارقطني. I'm sorry. Let's stop right there. I think the wording should be here. الذي نعده. كم أعد يعد. الذي نعده للبيع. Huh? Please make a note of that. نعده. It's from أعد. That which you have prepared or you intended. You set aside for sale. Okay, so the zakat on merchandise that's intended for sale, to be sold, is obligatory based upon what has been narrated by Abu Dawud and Al-Bayhaqi. Abu Dawud and Al-Bayhaqi in their Sunan. On the authority of Samura ibn Jundub radiallahu anhu, he said, Amma ba'd, after that which follows. فَإِنَّ النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم, indeed the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to command us to and نُخْرِجَ الصَّدَقَة. نُخْرِجَ means to bring out, to bring forth, the صَدَقَة. مِنَ الَّذِي, from that which نُعِدُّهُ للبيع, that which we have set aside, or we have set up, or we have prepared, and we have intended for sale. This hadith is reported by Abu Dawud in his Sunan al-Bayhaqi, also in Sunan. This is the first evidence that's mentioned. And by the way, there's difference of opinion concerning this hadith. It appears as though it is da'if. Second evidence, wa rawa ad-Darqutni wal Bayhaqi an Abi Dharr radiyallahu anhu and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal fil ibli sadaqatuha wa fil ghanami sadaqatuha wa fil baqari sadaqatuha wa fil bazzi sadaqatuhu. This narration is from where? From ad-Darqutni and al-Bayhaqi, on the authority of Abu Dharr, radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet ﷺ said, that concerning the camels, yani, or the camels have their sadaqah, sadaqatuha. Yani there's sadaqah for camels, and there's sadaqah for ghanam, for sheep and goats, and there's sadaqah for cows or cattle, baqarah, and there's sadaqah for al-biz. Al-biz, they said the meaning of it as al-thiyab. Yani thiyab is the plural of thawb. Huh? Al-biz, they said, is the plural of thiyab, and thiyab is the plural of thawb. So we know thawb, yani. Are you? Is he wearing a thawb? Yani, sometimes they call it a jalabiya. But thawb is general, means clothing that you wear. Okay, the plural is thiyab, and that's what is intended by al-biz. So in this hadith, it is reported from Abu Dharr that the Prophet ﷺ said that camels have their sadaqah that has to be given. And sheep and goats have sadaqah, and cattle have sadaqah, and clothing also have sadaqah. By the way, one of the meanings of biz is like cloth. Like a cloth merchant that sells, like the cloth that the brother just had just now. That's also meaning of biz. And it means cloth, like that clothing is made from. Okay? And this hadith, also, there's difference of opinion about it. It appears as though it is weak. Yani, in the Ikhtiyarat of Shaykh al-Albani, yani we're going to read on page 204 from the Ikhtiyarat of Shaykh al-Albani, where he mentions that both of these narrations are da'if. He mentions them in detail in Silsila al-Hadith al-Da'ifa. In Silsila al-Hadith al-Da'ifa, hadith number 1178. Silsila Al-Ahadith Al-Da'ifa. Shaykh al-Albani says both of these narrations are da'if. And we'll see that even Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani in Bulugh al-Maram, when he mentions, he said it is ya'ani, also it is weak. But he used the word isnaduhu layyin. Layyin. Ya'ani layyin is an expression that's used that means something is weak unless there's something to strengthen it. Yani if it's supported by another narration, then it will become maqbool. But if it's not supported, then it's not accepted. Alright, so that's the first point. And then the second point, kayfiyat ikhraj zakat mal at-tijara. Kayfiyat ikhraj zakat mal at-tijarati. What is the manner of distributing the zakat on the wealth of trade? On the wealth of trade. How do you distribute its zakat? How is it done? What is its manner? من ملك من عروض التجارة قدر نصاب وحال عليه الحول قومه آخر الحول وأخرج زكاته وهو ربع عشر قيمته. Whoever possesses from عروض التجارة merchandise that's intended for sale. Yani maybe somebody has merchandise in their house that's not intended for sale. By the way, who has a good memory? Nobody wants to say yes. Somebody remind me, that box, I have to take that to somebody when I leave here, and I'm afraid I'm going to leave it. Who can tell me that they're going to guarantee, bi'idhni llahi ta'ala, I'm not going to leave here without it?
I'll put a reminder at 5.
Thank you, brother. Because if that brother, last night I told him, tomorrow I'm going to bring you. If I come again tonight and I didn't bring him, maybe he's going to look at me like, your word is not good. So my word is good. I have to make sure. Somebody help me, please. Keep my word good. Don't let me leave here without it.
Is he in Brooklyn?
Huh?
Is he in Brooklyn?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's excellent. That's even better. MashaAllah. Allah reward you generously.
Do I still put the reminder?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Make sure he takes it. Do you know Nasheed?
Huh?
Nasheed? At Masjid Ihsan? American brother?
Or do you want to sit outside?
That's Ahmed.
That's Ahmed.
He's there every night.
Oh, that's easy.
He's there every night.
Easy.
He's one of the pillars of Masjid Ihsan.
Let's see.
Yeah, no, do you know Kiwe? Anybody know Kiwe?
Yeah.
Abdul Hakim, you know him?
Like, nah, no, I know who he is.
Oh, yeah. So that's his stepfather, Nasheed. No problem. Okay, so that's good. So that way I don't have to tell him any story tonight. How do you explain this? You know, 2 days in a row you keep forgetting. No explanation. That's why I didn't wait till I go home today. I said, no, I'm carrying this with me. Wherever I go, it's going to be with me. I'm not going to forget today. Even though it's a burden to carry that one, right? No problem. Huh?
How do you carry this big bag?
Yeah, I know.
Believe me, it was bigger than that before. Nah. It was the same size, but it was more full than it is now. So it was harder than it is now. The first time. Now it's easier, mashallah. Whoever possesses urud al-tijara, merchandise that's intended to be sold, قَدْرَ نِصَابٍ, that is in the amount of the nisab, minimum amount, whatever that is. وَحَالَ عَلَيْهِ الْحَوْلِ, and 1 year passed over it. قَوَّمَهُ آخِرُ الْحَوْلِ, قَوَّمَهُ, he has to evaluate it. He has to figure out what is its value. يعني if a year passed over it, and it was equal to the amount of nisab, or above it, and the year passed over it, then he has to evaluate at the end of that year what is its value at the end of, by the end of the year. Wa akhraja zakatahu, and he has to distribute the zakat for that amount at what rate? Rubu ushri qimatihi. Yani rubu ushr, 1/4 of a tenth, which is 1/40th, or 2.5%. Rubu ushri, 1/4 of a tenth, or 1/40th. Of its value.
Of the retail market value?
Of its value. Whatever is its value.
Like the value purchase it from, or you value?
No, the value that is selling. He's intending to sell it. If he sells it, how much he's going to get for it? That value. Not how much he paid for it, no. Because he's intending to sell it. So if he sells it, he's expecting to get this much. That's the value of it.
At the time he's going to sell?
At the end of the year. At the end of the year. Yani, there's a lot of complex discussion concerning it. I'm just reading it the way it is. Otherwise, we have to say more than this. But let's leave it like this for now and see how much we're going to cover of the details. Whoever possesses merchandise intending trade by it in the amount that's the minimum nisab, and he kept it for 1 year, at the end of that year, he has to evaluate what is its value at that point, and then he has to give zakat at the rate of 2.5%, or 1/40th of its value. That's the end of what it said in our textbook. And then I'm just going to quickly read a little bit from Bulugh al-Maram, the Ta'liq of Safir Rahman Mubarak Fouri, Rahimahullah Rahmatul Wasiya. May Allah's mercy be upon him extensively. And I have a story to tell about him, but it's a long story. He came to Doha when I was living there. MashaAllah, we went to the hotel to meet him. And he was very gracious to us, and he was very kind, and he gave us a lot of time, and we talked to him. And we found, yani, mashallah, that he is really, yani, from the people, the ulama, yani, the scholars of Ahl Sunnah, from India, Sheikh Safir Rahman. And he did a lot of works, he did a lot of books, mashallah. And this is one of them, his Ta'liq, Commentary on Bulugh al-Maram, where he did tremendous, and he brought a lot of value to this book. An Indian man from India, yani, and his Arabic, mashallah, what he's bringing here is ajeeb, yani. The way he's explaining it, mashallah. Now,
just like the
Abdurrahman, Abdurrahim.
Sheikh, is he still living?
No, may Allah have mercy upon him. He passed away. Yeah, right after he came to Doha, he died that following year. But mashallah. So, here he says, okay, the hadith is collected in Bulugh al-Maram by Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. Al-Hafiz says, this is how he narrates the hadith on page 182 in this commentary, hadith number 609, an Samura ibn Jundub. That sounds familiar? We just read that, right? An Samura ibn Jundub radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, may Allah the Most High be pleased with him, he said, kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ya'muruna an nukhrija as-sadaqata min alladhi nu'idduhu lil-bay', rawahu Abu Dawud wa isnaduhu layyin. Snaluhu layyin, that's the words of Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. Now we read the commentary. Yani, okay, again, we already translated this hadith. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded us to distribute the sadaqah from that which we have nu'idduhu, we have prepared for sale. And we have kept it with the intent of selling it. That's what we have it for. Okay, commentary 609, qawluhu, nu'idduhu, ay, nuhayyi'uhu, aw nuhdiruhu. Yani, that which we have prepared, that which we have set up, or we have brought forward, yani, for the purpose of selling. Bidham al-noon wa kasr al-ayn. Okay, he says here, the Shaykh says, Safiur Rahman, rahimahullah, he says, this word, nu'idduhu, it's with dhamma on the noon and kasra on the ayn. Nu'idduhu. And it is from al-i'dad. Yani, al-i'dad, from the fourth form of the verb, a'adda, yu'iddu, i'dad is the masdar. I'dad is the masdar for the fourth form of the verb. Yani, af'ala yuf'ilu, if'al, i'dad. Okay? So this also, this explanation grammatically is also helping us to understand the word is real meaning. It's from the fourth form of the verb. Yani, it means that which we have prepared or we have set up. This is from bab, yani i'dad, from bab if'al, the masdar from the fourth form of the verb af'ala yuf'ilu, if'al. Wal hadith, Shaykh Safiur Rahman, rahimahullah, he says, wal hadith dalil ala wujub al-zakat min ma'al al-tijara. This hadith is a proof of the obligation of zakat from the wealth that is intended for trade. The wealth that a person, yeah, he has in merchandise that's intended for trading, for sale. And Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani says, Rahu Abu Dawud wa isnaduhu layyin. He says, wa isnaduhu layyin. Yani, Shaykh Safiur Rahman, Allah says, lakin, isnaduhu layyin. lakin, sakata anhu Abu Dawud, thumma al-Mundhiri. Lakin, sakata anhu Abu Dawud, thumma al-Mundhiri. وقال ابن عبد البر رحمه الله اسناده حسن يعني reference عون المعبود جزء الثاني صفحة ثالث طبعة الهندية. The last part of what he said is the reference for the statement of ابن عبد البر, the great scholar of hadith, the muhaddith from the Maliki madhab, ابن عبد البر رحمه الله. ابن عبد البر said اسناده حسن. And that's important for him to mention this, because he said, and Al-Hafidh said the hadith is layyin. And then the Shaykh is saying, trying to, yani, not accept it as being layyin. He said, lakin, but sakata anhu Abu Dawud wal Mundhiri. But it's layyin, yeah, but Abu Dawud, and then after Abu Dawud, al-Imam al-Mundhiri, both of them sakata anhu, meaning, they didn't say anything about it. Sakata, yaskutu, he was silent. Okay, what is the meaning of this in brief? Al-Imam Abu Dawud, rahimahullah, in his Sunan, the Sunan Abu Dawud, in the introduction to his collection, he has a, yani, muqaddimah. In his muqaddimah, he talks about his book, his manhaj, how he arranged this book, how he collected, what was his standards, his rules, his grading, all this kind of stuff. He said that the hadith he collected in this book are intended to be sahih or hasan. Otherwise, he would say that the hadith is munqati'ah, that the hadith is mursal, that the hadith is da'if, or whatever. Otherwise, he would say. So the meaning of Shaykh Safiur Rahman saying, layyin, walakin sakata anhu Abu Dawud. Abu Dawud narrated the hadith, and he sakata anhu. He didn't say it was weak. So what does that mean? That he considered it not to be weak. Thumma, after Abu Dawud, al-Mundhiri also sakata anhu. He didn't say that neither. So what is the meaning of all of this? The meaning is, Al-Hafidh said this layin, it's weak. But the Shaykh is saying, but Abu Dawud narrated it, and he didn't say it was weak. And after him, Mundhiri also collected it, and he didn't say it's weak. So now he's saying what? Okay, Al-Hafidh said layin, but apparently, yani, not by mantuq, but by mafhum. No. Yani, Abu Dawud didn't say it's hasan. But by him not saying anything, we can understand that he intends that it's not weak. But the truth of the matter is that there are hadith in the Sunnah of Abu Dawud which he sakata anhu, and definitely they are da'if. So we're not going to like put too much weight on this, because we know from studying the Sunnah of Abu Dawud that there are hadith in the son of Abu Dawud, that he sakata anhu, and they are weak for sure. So that's his general rule, but sometimes he didn't stick to it. So here his sakata anhu is not going to be sufficient for us. Even Mundari, sakata anhu, that's not sufficient either. So Qut, no, we want to hear you saying definitely as, so that's why he knows that that's not so strong. So he said, okay, let me bring something else. He gave that as something to support his position, but then he came and said, وَقَالَ إِبْنَ عَبْدُ الْبَرْ إِسْنَادُهُ حَسَنٌ. That's not sukut. He said clearly, Ibn Abdul Barr said the isnad is hasan. So that's really, I mean, he's trying to come, bring whatever he can, support it with something else, to say that this hadith is, we should be using it.
And he's another muhaddith.
Yeah, Sheikh Safir Rahman's scholar. Ibn Abdul Barr is a major scholar of hadith.
No.
One of the major scholars of hadith in the history of Islam, Ibn Abdul Barr. Naam. Ibn Abdul Barr. Mantuq means it's spoken. Nataqa bihi. Nataqa means he spoke. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَلَى الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحِيُّهَا. Nataqa means he said it. Yani he verbally said it. So mantuq means something that's said. And mafhum means he didn't say it, but you can understand it. Naam. Okay, yes, yes, mashallah. قال ابن عبد البر إسناده حسن. And what's the reference for where Ibn Abdul Barr said this? He said in Aun, yani it's mentioned in Aun al-Ma'bud. Aun al-Ma'bud is not the book of Ibn Abdul Barr. Ibn Abdul Barr, his book is the explanation of the Muwatta of Imam Malik. Ibn Abdul Barr is a Maliki scholar. But somewhere else, this statement was collected from, I don't know where, but he gives the reference in Aun al-Ma'bud, which is the Sharh of Sunan Abu Dawud. The hadith is Ra'u Abu Dawud, right? So in the explanation of Abu Dawud, Aun al-Ma'bud, he says there, he quotes from Ibn al-Barr saying, it's not Hassan. Okay, that's all we wanted to read from there. Because, yani, this is like now we're seeing what? These are the hadith that are the, this is all they gave us as proof.
No.
In our textbook, they gave us two hadith. And now we're seeing that maybe there's some question about those hadith. So, Sheikh Safir Rahman, he's supporting those hadith. He's saying, okay, even though Hafiz said that it's laying, but Abu Dawud sakata anhu, he narrated, he sakata anhu, and in Aun al-Ma'bud, explanation of Abu Dawud, there's a quote conveyed from Ibn Abdul Barr, a major scholar of hadith, saying it's Hassan. So that's two points he had. Abu Dawud and Mundri didn't say anything about it, suggesting that maybe it's okay. Ibn Abdul Barr said clearly that it is okay. This is referenced in Aun al-Ma'bud, Sharh Abu Dawud.
So when we decide to read this hadith at the end, can we say, reply to Ibn Abdul Barr?
We can say that, but actually, okay, so I'm glad you asked that question. Actually, right, here, if we want to be strong in using Ibn Abdul Barr as a proof, we have to go to his book. Any of his books. Some book where, if it's in Aun al-Ma'bud, he didn't get it from Ibn Abdul Barr. Okay, so where did he get it from? From some of the writings of Ibn Abdul Barr. So when we refer to conveying a statement from a scholar, we have to go back to the original book. And it's like, I'm quoting a hadith, Rawahu al-Bukhari, but I'm quoting it from Riyad al-Salihin. Nope. You have to go back to Bukhari. That's not our referencing system, that we reference secondary books. We have to go to the original book. So really, this reference here is not a good reference for us. For the people of hadith, they don't give a reference to a secondary book. They don't say, this hadith is reported by Bukhari. What's the reference? Riyad al-Salihin. No way. What's the reference? Bulugh al-Maram. No way. Where Bulugh al-Maram came from? Yani, we have to go back to Bukhari. We have to go back to Abu Dawud. We have to go back to the Sunan of Nasa'i. Not Bulugh al-Maram. As a reference, we have to go back to Sunan Nasa'i. If he said Rawah al-Nasa'i, we have to go back to Nasa'i. That's how we do it. Okay, I'm just saying, glad you asked that question. Because this reference to Aun al-Ma'bud, that's why I said, he said that Ibn Abdul Barr is quoted as saying in Aun al-Ma'bud. But really, Aun al-Ma'bud is not a book written by Ibn Abdul Barr. So where did he say that? Originally, that's what we want to go back to. We don't have a lot of time.
Muwatta.
Or maybe. In one of his, he has a lot of books. No. But he has two explanations of the Muwatta of Imam Malik that are 15, 20 volumes long. Muwatta is this big.
No.
So there's a lot of place where he could have said that. So maybe it's hard to find out where did he say it. Yeah. No. How are we going to find it? He has these big books. So he gave us an easy reference to Aun al-Ma'bud. But I don't want Aun al-Ma'bud. I want Ibn Abu Barak directly. Where did he say it?
Sheikh, but isn't the Sheikh not aware of this?
He's aware of it, of course. But, I mean, we are human beings, right? Sometimes, look, sometimes when you are doing some work, you take a shortcut.
Okay.
I'm a little bit in a hurry right now, a little bit busy right now. I don't have a chance to go all the way back, so I'll take the shortcut. That's the shortcut. But the point, though, that we want to bring out is that is the shortcut, and really that's not the way to do it. Any better that we go back to the original source. Never quote a hadith and say it's muttafaqun alayh, and then give the reference as Bulugh al-Maram, or Riyadh al-Salihin, or 40 hadith. That's not a reference. No, you have to give me the reference in Bukhari.
No.
Give me the reference in Muslim. If you give me the reference in Fath al-Bari, that's acceptable. Because Fath al-Bari is Bukhari with its explanation. That's okay. But you give me a secondary book who collected it from Bukhari? No. Fath al-Bari is Bukhari with explanation. So all the hadith from Bukhari, just as they are in Bukhari, is there in Fath al-Bari. Except with the explanation. That's okay, you could do that. But a secondary book, a lot of times the secondary book is going to quote almost the exact wording, sometimes slight difference here or there, different word that has the same meaning or something like that. When you go back and check, you'll find it. That's why a lot of times when I'm reading from any book, I like to go back to the original book and check what's the wording came in the original book. Because sometimes in the original book you'll find the real exact wording, not the wording that came in the secondary book.
Fath al-Bari is Ibn Hajar.
It's Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani,
yeah. And it's
Bulugh al-Maram also.
And he made the explanation of Bukhari.
Of Bukhari.
He didn't have his own explanation.
He didn't make an explanation of Bulugh al-Maram because he intended Bulugh al-Maram just to be a book for memorization.
Okay.
Bulugh al-Maram, he intended only to make a small book that the people who want to know the sunnah of the fiqh, of ahkam, because it's only dealing with adillatul ahkam. So he wanted to collect a small book that every scholar, student of knowledge, they want to just memorize the evidences. So he collected them in that small book with no explanation. Just, these are the hadith, these are your proofs. As far as the explanation, now go back to the big books. Go back to Fath al-Bari, go back to Yani Shah Imam Muslim or whatever like this. Aun al-Ma'bud, explanation Abu Dawud, go back to the big books. Okay, let's quickly look at, in a few minutes that's remaining, Allah Musta'an. Okay, some of the commentary of Shaykh al-Albani in Ikhtiyarat al-Fiqhiyya of Shaykh al-Albani, I refer to page 203, page 204, and maybe page 205. It's a long discussion, I'm not going to read it all because we don't have time. I'll read some of it, as much as I can. Or maybe I'll just translate whatever I can. Anyway, you have the book, so page 203, that's where we're going to start. PDF, I sent it. Send me an email, I'll send it back to you. Or somebody, anybody can send it to you.
Sure.
Ikhtiyara al-Fiqhiyya, Shaykh al-Albani, page 203, point number 4. Hukmu zakat al-tijara. What is the ruling concerning zakat al-tijara? What do you expect that he's going to say here? What is the ruling concerning? That it's wajib, mustahab, or what? What's the hukm shari of zakat al-tijara? What do you think he's going to say?
Wajib.
You know, the hukm, it has to be five rulings.
Wajib.
It's haram, makruh, mubah, wajib or mustahab?
Wajib.
Mustahab. Mubah? Anybody mubah? Just mustahab or wajib? Okay, you have a surprise coming. قال الشيخ الألباني رحمه الله والحق أن القول بوجوب الزكاة على عروض التجارة مما لا دليل عليه في الكتاب ولا السنة الصحيحة ما منافاته لقاعدة البراءة الأصلية التي يؤيد ها هنا قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم في خطبة الحاجة خطبة الحج حجة الوداع فإن دماءكم وأموالكم وأعراضكم وأبشاركم I don't know what that word means عليكم حرام كحرمة يومكم هذا في شهركم هذا في بلدكم هذا ألا هل بلغت اللهم فاشهد الحديث رواه الشيخان غيره وغيرهما وهو مخرج في الإرواء يعني إرواء الغليل 1458. Okay, Sheikh al-Albani said, the truth of the matter is that the view that it is obligatory to of the obligation of zakat on merchandise that's intended for sale, the view that it is obligatory, القول بوجوب زكاة على عروض التجارة, is from that which لا دليل عليه. has no delil fil kitab in the Quran was sunnah sahihah, knowing the authentic sunnah. In addition to munafatihi liqa'idat al-bara' al-asliya. In addition to what? Not only there's no delil for in the Quran or in the sunnah, but in addition to that, it is in contradiction to the qa'idah, the principle of al-bara' al-asliya. What is al-bara' al-asliya? Al-bara' al-asliya. Yani that the original ruling is that a person is free of blame, free of responsibility until proven otherwise. Meaning, what he means here is that nobody is obligated to give zakat until there's a proof that they have to give. You can't just say, I declare you have to give zakat. You have to bring me some proof, because the original rule is al-bara' al-asliya, is that my wealth is mine. I don't have to give it unless there's something in the Sharia proven that I have to give it. Otherwise, you can't just take my money. Yani there's al-bara'. So here the Shaykh is saying, this is his view. I'm just saying that. It's his view. Rahimahullah. Yani, he's, you know, Shaykh al-Bani is strong, right? The haq is that this view has no basis whatsoever in the Quran, nor in the authentic sunnah. Notice he said authentic sunnah, right? Because the hadith that they use are all da'if. So he said, he didn't say I had no basis in sunnah, he said, as sunnah as sahiha. Be sure, this is why we have to use as sunnah as sahiha. Because sometimes it may come in the sunnah, but it's da'ifa. The Shaykh, he says, and in addition to this, not only that, any of the Quran, the ayahs that they use in the Quran, our book didn't mention any of the ayahs, but the scholars who support the view of the obligation of zakat or urud al-tijara, they use many ayahs from the Quran. But those ayahs, none of them are specific. They're general. And that's why the Shaykh is saying, not in the Quran, nor in the authentic sunnah, in addition to the fact that it's in negation, in contradiction to the original rule that people are free of responsibility unless you have a proof that they have to do something. And this is supported here, this rule is supported here, the rule of al-bara'a, al-asliya, is supported by the statement of the Prophet ﷺ that is reported in al-Bukhari and Muslim and others besides them, and the Shaykh gives the origin and roots and everything related to this in Irwa al-Ghalil 1458 of this hadith that the Prophet ﷺ stated in the farewell pilgrimage. He said, indeed, your blood and your wealth, that's the point, and your wealth, your blood and your wealth and your honor are all haram, yani forbidden, inviolable. Nobody can violate your blood, nor your wealth, nor your honor. Nobody has the right to do this. It is yani haram, yani sacred, like the sacredness of this day of yours. Which day is that? Arafah. In this month of yours, the month of Hajj. In this land of yours, in Mecca. Just like that. Your blood and your wealth and your honor is sacred, just like that. And then he said, the Prophet said, have I not delivered the message? Have I not conveyed the message? And then he said, O Allah, be a witness that I have conveyed the message at the end of the hadith, reported by Shaykhan, al-Bukhari, Muslim, and others. وَمِثْلَ هَذِهِ الْقَائِدَ The Shaykh says, in the light of this principle, al-bara' al-asliya, and the fact that the Prophet ﷺ clearly stated people's wealth is sacred, you can't violate it. He said, the likeness of this is not, لَيْسَ مِنَ السَّحْلِ نَقْدُهَا It's not easy just to cancel this. يعني undo it. أَوْ عَلَى الْأَقَلْ تَخْسِيسُهَا بِبَعْضِ الْأَثَارِ وَلَوْ صَحَّتْ Nor even to limit it, or specify it, or define it. تَخْسِيس Due to some athar from the Sahaba or Tabi'in or those who came later, even if those athar are sahih. Like the saying of Abdul ibn Umar, radiallahu anhumah, لَيْسَ فِي الْعُرُودِ زَكَاتٌ إِلَّا مَا كَانَ لِلْتِجَارَةِ يعني Abdul ibn Umar said, there's no zakat on urud, merchandise, unless it is intended for sale. So that's supporting the view of those who said there's zakat, right? Ibn Umar said, there's no zakat on merchandise that a person possesses unless they're intending it for tijara. So the Shaykh is saying, even this kind of athar, did it come from the Prophet ﷺ? It came from Abdul Ibn Umar. Okay, so the Shaykh, he's saying, okay, yeah, there's some athar that they're using. There's nothing clear in the Quran. There's nothing sahih in the hadith of the Prophet. There's some sayings of some of the Sahaba. And even if they are sahih, Shaykh is saying, still, can this cancel out the original rule, al-bara' al-asliya? Especially since there's no statement from the Prophet, the Sahih, supporting taking the people's wealth. That's his view. I'm saying that because, and I'm not taking any sides in this issue. And then he said, this athar from Ibn Umar, أخرجه الإمام الشافعي رحمه الله and في الأم بسند صحيح from Abdul Ibn Umar. نعم.
I was saying, because sometimes you say that some hadiths are manquf, right?
Mawquf.
Yeah.
It's not suggested that this is mawquf. I mean, it is mawquf. Okay. But it's not suggested that it is marfu al-hukman. Okay. Yani, there's no suggestion here in the narration that even though it's not, the isnad is not going back to the Prophet, but the ruling concerning it is marfu. Okay. There's no suggestion here. So, this would be a statement of Abdul Ibn Umar. That's why I call it al-athar. Any athar, sometimes it could be used for hadith, but generally it means the statements of Sahaba and Tabi'in and those who came after them. Athar. So he said, this isnad is sahih, na'am. But even though, he said, ma qawnihi mawqufan ghayru marfu' ila nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In addition to the fact that it's mawquf, there's no claim that it's attributed to the Prophet ﷺ. In addition to that, فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ فِيهِ بَيَانْ نِصَابْ زَكَاتِهَا وَلَا مَا يَجِبْ إِخْرَاجُهُ مِنْهَا. So even though it's mawquf, it's not even marfu to the Prophet ﷺ. Okay, it's sahih, but it's mawquf. It's a statement of Abdul Umar. Not only that, but it doesn't clarify, so what's the nisab then? It doesn't say anything about the nisab. Nor does it say how much you have to give, at what rate. So even if you say, okay, you have to give zakat, so when it reaches what amount? How much do you have to give? None of that is mentioned here. So the Shaykh is saying, so it's possible then that we can understand this as just zakat mutlaqan. Yani this general zakat, not the zakat that has a specific obligation on the people. غَيْرُ مُكَيِّدْ بِزَمَنْ وَلَا كَمِّيَّةً. Yani there's no definition of the time period. Yani does it, you have to have it for 1 year, nor the amount. Yani how much, what is the nisab, how much you have to give? إِنَّمَا بِمَا تُطَيِّبْ بِهِ نَفْسُ صَاحِبُ. Rather, the Shaykh said, if it is authentic, then there's no amount and there's no time. Rather, whatever you want to give, just give. There's some zakat. Give whatever you want to give. You have merchandise? Give whatever you want to give, whatever you want to give. Because there's no specification of how much to give, or when you have to give it, or what is the minimum amount. None of that is given there. So Shaykh is saying, then in that case, it's just mutlaqa. Give whatever you want to give, whatever you feel good with.
Okay. And you can even not give.
And you cannot give if you don't want to, because ma tutayyib. Tutayyib bi nafsu. Whatever you feel good about giving. Maybe a person feels good about not giving anything. I'll keep his hand in his pocket. Never come out, right? فَيَدْخُلْ حِينَ أَذُ فِي عَمُومَ النُّسُوسَ الْأَمْرُ بِالْإِنْفَاقِ. So in that case, it comes under the general text, which can't command us to spend in the way of Allah, generally. Not like zakat. Yani on gold and silver and cattle. You have to give a specific amount. He said this comes under the meaning of the general nusus which command us to spend, like the saying of Allah, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu anfiqu mimma razaqnakum. Oh, you believe? Spend from what we have given you.
No.
That's not a specific amount. That's if whatever you want to give, give something. Whatever you want, whatever you want. He said it comes under that. Or the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Yani wa atu haqqahu yawma hasadihi. Yani give its right on the day of hisad. Yani, unless there's a specification, these texts are general, they can only be specified by text that clarifies how much you have to give, or when you have to give, or what, yani, what is the minimum amount. Or the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, there's no day that the ibad, the worshippers of Allah, will come out in the morning, except that there are two angels who will descend upon them saying, one of them will say, O Allah, yani, a'ti, give to the one who spends, give him something to follow it up, and Yani Ati Mumsikan, the one who holds back, cause his wealth to be destroyed. Yani these are general texts about spending in the way of Allah, recorded by Shaykh Khan, Bukhari Muslim and other than them. And this hadith, he said, is also discussed in detail in Silsila Hadith al Sahiha, hadith number 920. Then the Shaykh says, وَقَدْ صَحَّ شَيْءٌ مِمَّا ذَكَرْتُهُ عَنْ بَعْدِ السَّلَفِ. Some of what Yani I have mentioned is narrated authentically from some of the Salaf, like the saying of Ibn Juraij. He said, Qala li, Ata said to me, La sadaqa في اللؤلؤ وزبرجد زبرجد ولا ياقوت ولا فصوص ولا أرض يعني عروض التجارة ولا أرض ولا شيء لا يدار أي لا يتاجر به وإن كان شيئا من ذلك يدار ففي صدقة في ثمنه حين يباع أخرجه عبد الرزاق وابن أبي شيبة وسنده صحيح جدا وشاهد منه قوله ففي صدقة في ثمنه حين يباع. Okay, here he mentions the statement of Ibn Jurayz. Atta said to me, there's no sadaqa in pearls. There's no sadaqa in يعني زبرجد, some kind of mineral that comes from the earth. ولا ياقوت, يعني ياقوت is like sapphires. Or red, the red ones are rubies. ولا فصوص, يعني the stones that are put on rings. ولا أرض, no merchandise, no anything. There's no zakat on any of this stuff. Pearls, يعني sapphires, diamonds, whatever. There's no zakat on them. ولا شيء لا يدع. No anything that is not intended, لا يتاجر به. Not intended for sale, for trading with it. وإن كان شيء من ذلك يدع. But if some of those things, any of those things are intended for sale, ففيه صدقة. Then there is صدقة upon it. في ثمنه, according to its value. حين يباع, at the time that it is sold. The Shaykh says, this is the shahid. Then there's sadaqa on it, according to its value, at the time that it's sold. Not any nisab, not any hawl, at the time that it's sold. When you sell it, whatever its value you sold it for, you have to give zakat on it. This is the athar of Ibn Jurayz. This is not a hadith of the Prophet. Shaykh is saying, look, there are some athar that talk about zakat, but it doesn't mention nisab. It doesn't mention hawl. It doesn't mention any of that. But rather in this athar, it says the zakat is due at the time when it's sold in accordance with its value. Shaykh said, this is the shahid in this athar that he said the sadaqah is due according to its value at the time when it's sold. At the time when it's sold. Not when 1 year passed over and it goes above the nisab. He said, so this, yani here he says, لم يذكر تقويما. It didn't mention the amount you have to give. ولا نصابا, nor the minimum. ولا حولا, nor that it has to pass over 1 year. So this athar is ابطال لإدعاء البغوي في شرع السنة. And this is invalidates the claim of Al-Imam Al-Baghawi in his book of hadith Shar Sunnah, which is a very important book of hadith, Shar Sunnah, a big book of hadith by Imam Baghawi, very important hadith, book of hadith and collections of the Salaf, dealing with all the subjects yani, that the hadith have to cover. He said his claim there that there is ijma' concerning the obligation of zakat of the value of merchandise that's intended for trade if it reaches the nisab and you keep it for 1 year. He said there's ijma' on yani zakat on urud al-tijara if it reached the nisab and you had it for 1 year. He said there's ijma' on this. Sheikh Al-Albani is saying this narration of Ibn Jurayz invalidates that because there's zakat on it according to its value, whatever is its value, whenever you sell it, without nisab and without hawl. He's saying that this narration invalidates this claim of ijma'. And again, yani which we said in the past, al ijma', yani whenever there's a claim of ijma', we have to check it carefully. Because usually the claim of ijma' is not valid. There's somebody opposing it. Ibn Jurayz opposed that ijma'. He said clearly, you have to pay according to its value, forget about nisab, forget about how long you had it, whenever you sell it.
Even last week, I wanted to ask question about the ijma. Is it the four imam or who?
No, it's not the four imams. Ijma of the major scholars. Yeah, yeah, the scholars, yeah. Yani, from the any. We have to be talking about in the early generation of the Muslims. Yeah. Because after that, if there was ijma, it can't be invalidated by the people who came later. If there was already ijma, if the people later differ, it doesn't matter. They don't count. So we're not talking about ijma of all the scholars in history. What we're talking about in the first generation of the Muslims, if the people who are known to be the people of knowledge, if they agreed on something by ijma, consensus, then that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about the four imams. No. We're talking about the scholars before the four imams. Because Abu Hanifa died in what year? 150. We're talking about long before that. How many major scholars came before Abu Hanifa? Before Imam Malik? Before Imam Shafi? Before Imam Ahmed? Wait, Imam Ahmad died in year 241. We're not talking about four imams. We're talking about way before that. Wow. Way before the four imams. Anyway, so the Shaykh, he says, I'm going to cut short what he said here now because it's coming near the end of it, and the end of our time. He said that this invalidates the claim of Ijma'a. And they also claimed that nobody opposed this Ijma'a except Imam Dawood al-Zahiri, the Imam, the leader of the Zahiri Madhab. They said nobody opposed this Ijma'a except Dawood al-Zahiri. And this might be mentioned because Imam Dawood al-Zahiri, he opposed a lot of things because he has the Zahiri Madhab, literalist, and so they differed with the other scholars on a lot of things. But the point is, Shaykh is saying, not only Imam Dawood al-Zahiri, before him even, Ibn Jurayj differed with this. And then he's saying, when Appal was asked by a merchant who had a lot of wealth of all different types, and he came to pay his zakat, and he said, what is the zakat, yani upon these goods that I have? And he told him, عليه أن يعني shall I يعني evaluate these things according to what I know to be its value and then give the zakat on it. And Appa said to him, لا ولكن ما كان من ذهب أو فضة أخرج منه زكاته. No, not on all these other things, but if you have gold and silver, then give it zakat. وما كان من بيع أخرج منه إذا باعه. And whatever you have for sale other than gold and silver, then give it zakat. إِذَا بَاعَهُ if or when you sell it. Which is in agreement with the previous author. Why do you sell? If and when you sell it, then give it zakat. This one is yani reported with Sanadin Hassan. And then the Shaykh says, those who are in agreement with the madhab of al-Zahiriya, and Imam Dawood al-Zahiri, he said this is their madhab is that you give yani your merchandise, when you sell it, you give the zakat according to whatever its value is. Without worrying about the year, without worrying about the nisab, yani when you sell it, you have to give zakat on it. He said, this is the madhab of the Zahiriya, and those who followed him, like Al-Imam al-Shawkani and Imam Sadiq Hassan Khan. In yani Sadiq Hassan Khan, his book, The Shark of Rawda al-Nabiyya. And then he says, and al-Shawkani refuted the people who hold the opinion of obligation of zakat or urud al-tijara in his book As-Sail al-Jara, one of the other books of Imam Shawkani other than Nail al-Alta. And he said he also supported this opinion, or also those who supported this opinion, Ibn Hazm, and from the Zahiri Madhab in his book Al-Mahalla. And then, this is what I want to close with, the Shaykh says, وَاحْتَجَّ Shaykh al-Bani, and it's quoted from Shaykh al-Bani that he used as a proof, بِأَنَّ urud al-tijara كَانَتْ مَعَرُوفًا. Okay, so the first point, Shaykh is saying there's no clear indication in the Quran, nor any authentic hadith, and even the athar that came, there are some that oppose others. They're not all saying the same thing. And then finally he makes this argument. He said, urud al-tijara kanat ma'arufa fi ahd al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Merchandise for trade was known in the time of the Prophet. Was dhukirat fil Quran wal hadith miraran kathira. And it has been mentioned both in the Quran and in the ahadith, many times, over and over and over again. وَبِمُنَاسِبَاتْ شَتَّى and on different occasions. This is something that's known. فَسُقُوتُهُ صلى الله عليه وسلم عنها وَعَدَمْ تَحَدِّثِهِ عَنْهَا بِمَا يَجِبُ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الزَّكَاةِ الَّتِي ذَهَبَ إِلَيْهَا بَعْدُهُمْ فَهُوَ عَفْوٌ مِنْهُ عَيْدًا لِهِكْمَةٍ بَالِغَةٍ. يعني since this was something well known in the time of the Prophet, it's mentioned in the Quran, it's mentioned in the Sunnah, and it came in different occasions talking about it, the silence of the Prophet concerning this matter, he didn't talk about it. He didn't say what is obligatory of zakat concerning it. Like these the people are saying, that there's an asab and there's a hawl and there's a certain amount. The fact that the Prophet didn't say anything about this, means that he passed over it. Yani the people are excused from this for a hikmah baligha, for some yani wisdom yani beyond maybe our comprehension. Yani for some great wisdom that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he intended. And then there's some discussion about other things, yani from amongst those who supported the view that it is obligatory, Imam Bukhari, he made a chapter heading in the Sahih Bukhari, Kitab al-Zakat. He said, Bab Sadaqah Al-Kasab wa-Tijara. Yani that there is Sadaqah on what you earn and what you earn from trade. And then he gave some other supporting evidences. And then he mentions, the Shaykh al-Albani said that the two hadith that they used, the first of them and the second one, he mentioned them, he said both of them are da'if. And then he said that they used some other general evidences, like the Prophet ﷺ, when he said Mu'adh ibn Jabal to Yemen, he said, teach the people that Allah has made obligatory upon them sadaqah from their wealth. General, they use it as a proof that there's zakat on the person.
No.
Yeah, that hadith is in Bukhari. But the point he's saying here is that yani they use general. Some general hadith.
General hadith.
Okay, some general hadith came like this supporting their position. And he also mentioned this very important, I don't want to leave this out, to support the other side so we can go both ways. وَلَمْ يُعْلَمْ مُخَالَفَ لِعُمَرْ وَإِبْنِ عُمَرْ وَإِبْنِ عَبَّاسِ. He mentioned some narration from Umar ibn Abbas, and he said it is not known that anybody opposed them. وَاسْتَمَرَّ الْعَمَلَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ فِي أَحْدِ السَّحَابَةِ وَالتَّابِعِينَ وَمَنْ بَعْدَهُمْ عَلَى قَوْلِ بِوُجُوبِ زَكَاةِ التِّجَارَةِ. And to support the people who say it's obligatory, it is not known that anybody opposed these athar that have been mentioned, and that the people be continued to act upon this view that there is obligatory zakat or merchandise that's intended for trade. The people continue to act upon it during the time of Sahaba and the Tabi'een and those who came after them. And then he mentions the refutation of the majority of scholars who hold that it's obligatory to give zakat. He mentioned their refutation on some of the views of the other people. And like I said, like time is upon us. So there are two sides. And then finally they close by saying that the conditions, the shurut for zakat or urud al-tijara, is that a person must own that merchandise, and they must intend to sell it, and that it must reach the nisab. Of course, they're saying the nisab is the nisab for wealth, for gold and silver, and it must pass over 1 year. In other words, they are connecting it to general wealth of gold and silver. And Sheikh Uthaymeen has some arguments concerning this, and that's why they usually say that only if the person intends to sell it. Because if he intends to sell it, then his intention, he bought it to sell it. So he bought it for its value, to sell it for a value. He intends money. He doesn't intend to keep the merchandise to use it himself. He intends money. So this is like money. He spent some money to get this in order to sell it to get more money. So it's like a person's wealth. And therefore they're saying it comes under the rule of general wealth. And therefore there's hawl and there's nisab. And the zakat is in the same way as wealth. And 2.5%. And they brought some proofs. But as Sheikh al-Albani said, the two arguments that Sheikh al-Albani said that's very strong, and they have strong arguments too, is number one, that there's nothing clear in the Quran specifying zakat or urud al-tijara. And there's no authentic hadith specifying it. And even the athar from the salaf, they are not in agreement, and most of them don't mention any nisab or any hawl or how much you have to give, at what rate. None of that is mentioned. And the fact that urud al-tijara was known in the time of the Prophet, well known, and yet the Prophet appears to not have spoken a word concerning it, and it is a strong argument against taking somebody's wealth without a clear evidence. Next week, perhaps next week, inshallah, we're going to look at Shaykh Uthaymeen's discussion concerning this and his arguments in support. Because we didn't have a chance to read it today, and really we're out of time at this point, so we need to stop for the salat.